Stand by, ion control.
Episode of Ion Control, a Star Wars The Living Card Game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matt Knott. Joining me is Dan and Jonathan. Guys, how's it going?
Good, you?
I'm doing well.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm doing great. So,
great.
This is the first episode, we're going to introduce ourselves first for those of you who don't know us. I'll start off. Like I said, my name is Matt Knott. I live in Nova Scotia, Canada. Some of you might recognize my voice from another podcast I do called Adeptus Podcastus, which is focused on the Warhammer 40,000 Conquest card game. I'm also very active on the various forums for all the LCGs, Card Game DB, and the FFG boards, most as Toktamish, T-O-Q-T-A-M-I-S-H. So yes, that's how you say it. For those of you who've often wondered, you can reach me there on the boards. I'm pretty much on them 24 hours a day. I really don't know what else to say about myself. So, Dan, how about you go ahead, since you are our reigning champion in Canada?
Yeah, I'm from Edmonton, so where, or St. Albert to be specific, in Alberta, where the Nationals were. I also am on the forums a lot. I go by Chunky Gorillas. I post a lot as well, because I have nothing better to do at school. And I mostly just play Star Wars LCG, and then I play a little bit of Game of Thrones. And what about you, John?
Well, g'day. So my name's Jonathan, and I live in Ottawa, where we just got winter today. So starting to get cold here, and I am a huge Star Wars fan. Myself, I've been playing Star Wars LCG since I heard that the game was released. I did buy X-Wing, and then shortly after, transitioned straight into the LCG. I also play Conquest. And I think it's a fantastic game. And I also play a lot of Warhammer 40K. So that's most of my time is painting and rolling dice, leaving the dice gods to determine my fate. Yeah, that's in a nutshell. We play here usually Monday nights in Ottawa with my friends at the local board games club. And yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
All right, awesome. So that's a little bit about ourselves. So the next thing we all kind of want to talk about, which Jonathan did during his introduction, was just kind of talk about the games we play and, you know, things we do and whatnot, just to give you a bit of introduction. Much like Jonathan, I am a huge Star Wars fan. My man cave in my house is a Star Wars room with Star Wars curtains and Star Wars artwork all over the place and various helmets from the movies as well. So I'm a big Star Wars geek, you could say, for sure. I play quite a few various games. The main games I play tend to be the LCGs, so right now that's Star Wars and Conquest. I started playing Star Wars back in 2012 when the game first released at the store down in Halifax that I picked up my copy at. I've been playing it ever since. Play Conquest, of course, as I already said. I've played every single living card game there is. I collected most of them. I only actively play the two now. Dan actually has my former Game of Thrones collection.
Yeah.
I also play various board games. The big ones I play are games like Carcassonne and Smarwold. My wife and I enjoy those, so we tend to play together or with friends. And then I guess we want to talk about movies and stuff too. I could probably ramble on about this forever. Of course, I watch Star Wars on a way too often basis. And I enjoy a lot of sci-fi and fantasy movies too, and a lot of World War II movies. I'm also a big fan of way too many television shows, especially this year. There's a lot of good comic book and other series on right now that I try and follow, including Star Wars Rebels, which I also really enjoy. Dan, how about you? What kind of stuff do you do other than, school and posting the boards?
Well, I've been playing this game, Star Wars LCG, pretty much since right after the second pack came out. But I actually didn't get into this game because I do like Star Wars, but it wasn't my thing. Like, I'm not super into it like you guys. I actually was playing the Call of Cthulhu card game while trying to, but no one ever showed up to the weekly meeting. So eventually the store owner was just like, just play this game instead. And I got really into this game ever since. And actually playing this game has got me super into Star Wars. It got me to watch all the movies again. And now I own lots of Star Wars t-shirts. So, I haven't been playing card games that long. I didn't get into it probably only 3 years ago when I started with Magic. And then as soon as my cards rotated out, I just stopped playing because I didn't want to buy new cards. And then as soon as that happened, I shifted focus from playing Magic to completely into the LCGs because I already had Star Wars, but got super into it after that. And it's mostly the only game I play now. And I play a little bit of Game of Thrones LCG, but really casual. And then when I'm at home, I play Hearthstone quite a bit also, but not like super good at that. And then I don't watch a lot of movies. I just watch a lot of TV. Pretty much seen like every sci-fi series ever. That's pretty much all I watch. And I watch lots of documentaries on Netflix. I guess that's all I watch for movies. How about you, John?
Well, huge sci-fi fan. Massive, massive sci-fi fan. I love the Star Wars trilogy. I saw Phantom Menace probably too many times than I'd like to admit. Just because it was the brand new Star Wars movie.
Was it more than three?
It might have been maybe a few more times than three.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. I don't want to disclose how many times I'd seen it. But definitely Empire Strikes Back is the movie that I really enjoy. I've just started introducing my little guy to the Empire Strikes Back. So he calls it Star Wars in the Snow.
What my kids call it. They're like the ones with the snow, or it's the one with the bears. They like that one too. Bears, of course, being the Ewoks.
I had he had an argument with me that I called it Empire Strikes Back, and he told me it was Star Wars in the Snow, and I just let it be. So massive fan of all sci-fi. I am watching when it's on Game of Thrones. I purged onto Walking Dead. Love Walking Dead, and haven't had any time to watch the new series yet. And I did play the old Decipher game of the Star Wars Decipher back in the day when it was released, but it just became a bit of a rules mess, as I'm sure the Thrones people are realizing right now. I loved the Decipher game, just kind of petered out under its own, its own weight. And I mentioned I play a lot of 40K, painting, and just recently watched a movie called Snowpiercer, which is a great sci-fi movie. It's set on a train. It's got the actor who plays Captain America. I can't remember his name. Anyway, just watch that and highly recommend it. It's a dystopian sci-fi movie.
That the movie with the train that's like the only thing that's left of civilization and people only live on this train or something?
Yeah. I've heard of it. It's actually really good. If you can help me out with the name of the actor. I forget his name. The Captain America actor. And anyway. And they're trying to revolt against... Sorry, go ahead, Dan.
Oh, is it Steve Rogers?
Yeah. but they're trying to get to the front of the train and... it would actually make a really good video game, trying to get to the front, to the end of the game. So they're trying to revolt and take over the train. It's very good. So I recommend it. Any other games? I do play, a lot of Lords of Waterdeep and, Relic by FFG. I really like Relic, which is the 40K, board game. A lot of pieces in the game, a lot of components. So I played a game the other night. It was great. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
So just briefly about, this podcast and what we're going to be doing with it. Of course, we're going to focus on the Star Wars, the card game. From time to time, we'll of course talk about other Star Wars stuff, probably because we're all big Star Wars fans. So, we'll probably talk about the movies and maybe Rebels and stuff like that, and occasionally maybe talk about the other FFG games like X-Wing and Imperial Assault. But we're gonna focus on the card game, so don't worry if you came here for the card game. That's gonna be our main focus. So the next thing we want to talk about, guys, is we want to talk about some of the news that we've had recently, with Worlds having happened
Sure.
recently, and Canadian Nationals weren't that long ago either, as well as some big news yesterday from FFG. So we should probably start off with the Canadian Nationals, since that was the one that's furthest back. Dan, since you were, of course, there and ultimately won, I'll let you talk about that, and kind of what happened and what went on to the end of
Oh,
the day.
okay. Was a almost 3 weeks ago now, I guess. It was October 25th. Yeah, about 3 weeks ago, even a bit more. It was ran pre It went pretty late. Like, October is pretty late to run it, so attendance wasn't amazing, but we got 16 people out there. They were pretty much all everybody was from Alberta or Saskatchewan, other than the one guy that came from Alabama. But was awesome to see. That guy was super cool.
Wow, that's a
Yeah,
crazy
he
long
wanted he was
drive, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he flew.
Okay.
He was he came because he was going to Worlds and he wanted another chance of winning the bye, so, and to get all the sweet prizes. The 16 people worked out good though, since there were 16 Force Commit tokens, so it was basically a participation prize along with the Yodas. It was kind of nice to see everybody get one.
Nice.
But then, I don't know, the tournament format was a bit weird too. We only played 3 rounds of Swiss into a cut to top two. Well, it was a little short, but, I mean, it ended up working out because it wasn't a super long day, at least, but. So I ended up winning, and I was at the finals with another local player named Scott or Sage on the forums. And I don't know. I posted my decks online. I'm sure lots of people saw them. I was running a pretty standard mono Jedi list, and then a Sith scum control list with Zuckus that Matt actually helped me make because I had no idea what to bring. Like, even the night before Nationals, I was still like trying to figure out decks. What did you guys think of? I'm sure you saw some of the decks I posted. What do you think of the overall meta? There's lots of Jedi.
Well, one thing I was interested in is, was there any decks that caught anyone out by surprise? Was there anything that was really different that no one thought of?
There's a couple. I think the people who weren't from our group were really surprised to see a lot, quite a few people running, like a Navy TIE Fighter deck. It was like super aggressive and would try to win on the third turn, like it would just blow up four objectives, and that's how it tried to win. So that one, it actually that's what Scott had in the finals, but it wasn't actually a very good matchup against Jedi, so it didn't for the other people running it do quite as well because the Jedi deck could also defend and attack pretty easily. And there was one guy, I think he got fifth. He was running a deck with Boba Fett in it,
There's a
Adrian, a
surprise.
local player here. Yeah, so he was running with Boba Fett and then like the Emperor Vader. Mara Jade and I think Council was his deck. So his plan was to get out Protectors first and then play Boba Fett, kind of like how you were, used to play the old Super Friends deck. You wouldn't play Han Solo till you could protect him. And it was pretty interesting. It actually, the deck's pretty good. And then his light side deck also had Han Solo, and it was basically he took the Gen Con winning light side deck and just took out Gamma Run. Because this was after the Eretta, by the way. Some people might not have known that. So you can only have one Gamma Run, so you took out just Gamma Run and put in Han Solo, and it actually worked really well. He thought there's gonna be way more people playing the TIE Fighter deck, since like our whole group kind of were playing it, but quite a few people, including me, decided not to run it since it was not as consistent. But he thought Han Solo would just destroy that deck. And it would.
Yeah, Han Solo would definitely destroy a TIE Fighter deck, I would think, quite easily.
Yeah, because they take out two TIE Fighters in one
Yeah,
attack.
exactly. So you said yours was post FAQ, right? So it was post the
Yes, it
Chains of
was, so.
Gamor and May the Force be with you. Okay.
Yeah, it was about 10 days that the Eretta happened about 10 days before the tournament. So going into it, my entire group had had the Gamma Run deck built. Like, that's what we're going to bring. And then as soon as they did that, we all just kind of threw Gamma Run away and put in
Was
the Holy
there
Crow.
a mad rush to work out the new meta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The week before, we probably all played we probably played 4 days out of like the 7 days before, like a ton before. Like, I probably played the most hours I've ever played the week before that.
And how was your prep going into, like, in general, how would you prepare against the meta, so to speak.
Well, what me and Scott did like a couple nights before Nationals is we just built a bunch of decks. And even the day before that, even me and Adrian did it. So what we did is we were pretty confident in our light side lists, like playing the Jedi deck. And then we just built like as many dark side decks as we could. And we just kept playing and playing until we thought we found a deck that worked pretty well against Jedi, because it is a harder deck to play against, compared to what the meta was before May the Force Be With You came out. So we just played a lot. We didn't actually test that much for the light side because we all just kind of went back to what we ran at the regionals, what was like a moldy Jedi kind of deck, and we just kind of left it at that. I think we probably should have tested more for the light side because there is still some really good light side decks that we definitely weren't even looking at.
It's funny with deck testing for major competitions, because I always like to try a deck two or three times against that same opposing deck, just to see if it's the draw, if it's my opponent, me reacting to my opponent's cards, or if it really is a bad deck.
Yeah, when it was actually Adrian who made up the TIE Fighter list, when he first made it up, we probably played 14 games in a row of me as running different variations of a light side list. It was actually before the Gamor got restricted, so I was running the Gamor run, and we probably played 14 games in a row. It was like 3 hours of just playing. And it was just the TIE Fighter deck losing to the Jedi list, sadly. And we switched back and forth even just to try it, trying to get that deck to work. And that's why we made the tweaks. He ended up putting in the Sith TIE Fighter set, but you still run the Navy affiliation, and it started working better because the TIE fans are really good.
Yeah, it's only one card that's a Sith.
Yeah, and you can get it in with the I can't remember, the Escort Carrier.
Right.
With this ability.
Well, I actually like running the Navy deck with the Sith, with the Black Squadron. I forget the correct name.
It's Assault. I can't remember.
Black Squadron Assault, yeah. And just use Vader's TIE as an edge card.
Yeah, because it's three pips, right?
That's pretty good. And otherwise, it's a strong set, even in a Navy, pure Navy deck.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Definitely helps with the edge.
Oh, yeah.
My version of the deck actually has Piet in it as a one of, just for all the edge cards. But I never actually played Piet. He's bad.
So, Dan, I have a question, which I'm pretty sure you've been asked on the forums before, but I'm not sure of the answer. Why was it decided that the tournament was made as short as it was, where this was like Nationals and, there was guidelines sent from FFG?
I'm not sure. I think it was the store owner, that's how he runs all his Magic tournaments. So I think it was just kind of like he didn't know that that wouldn't work. Because he runs Magic tournaments with more people than that, but he just does three rounds, then cut to top two just to get like the two top players, to play up for the finals when he does like Magic game days. So I think it was somewhat our group's fault, because I don't think any of us actually spoke up, because we didn't really want to like step on any toes, be like, hey, actually, you should run it like this. But so I think he just didn't really know that it's not a great way to run a Star Wars tournament with how the scoring works, that three rounds of Swiss is not enough to really find the top players, and then we probably should have been at four rounds of Swiss in the top four cut. I think it would probably be a good number for that many people, because then you get then people have enough chance to actually get into the top cut, like the guy with the super buy who's actually Scott. That 8 points at the start was a huge boost, hard to for anybody to catch up after that.
Yeah. There was the most recent regional that we had in Ottawa. We only actually had four players because it was conflicting. The date was conflicting with a lot of other events on, and it was at a comic convention, or games convention. And we just let the players decide if we wanted to cut the games down, cut to top four. It was because I know FFG has the guidelines, and running the regional, I wanted to follow the guidelines, but then leave it to the players, because at the end of the day, they're the ones paying for the game.
Yeah.
They're the ones in the game. So leave it to their own device.
But I would like to say like the event was actually free. What really surprised me. The store owner was like awesome. He like ran a really good event. He fed us. And during like the lunch break, we did Star Wars trivia. I did really bad at, because there's a lot of questions about the original, the new movies that I haven't actually watched since I was like really young. And so I did really bad at that, but he was really nice and ran a great tournament. But I think, yeah, one of us probably should have stepped up and then like maybe do some more rounds, you know, because I just don't think he knew that that wouldn't work. Because we did at our regionals, we had 12 people, I think, and we ran four rounds of Swiss and four rounds and cut to top four. It worked really well, I thought. Like there wasn't a lot of ties going into the top. There was no ties going to the top cut. It was like no one was cut out for just not, for lack of strength of schedule.
Right.
That's how many. Like we had 13 at our regional in Halifax, and like there was the top four cut. Like we did four rounds, cut to top four, same as you guys did, because that's what the FFG guidelines said. And there was actually a tie for fourth between my best friend Ben, my buddy Dan, and it did come down to strength of schedule. But other than that, it was not like it was really clear other than that, just that one there. And it was kind of interesting because like Ben had actually brought a Slough Scout deck just to kind of play against the meta because he knew everybody else was going to be running, you know, Sith Scum and other big stuff to try and take on the Jedi Gamor deck. So he probably brought this in to kind of sneak through. And obviously did okay because, you know, got him tied for fourth, but he didn't get through because of strength of schedule. Yeah. So I was curious about that because it seemed like such a short tournament and it almost seems like, I don't want to say a waste or anything, you know, like I don't want to insult the store or anything like that. I'm just, it seems so too bad that you guys had such a shortened event, especially, you know, we had people traveling from as far as, you know, Saskatchewan and Alabama and stuff like that. It just seems like,
What did the player from Alabama have to say about such a short tournament? Did he have any opinion?
Yeah, I don't know if I talked too much about it. I actually went out with him for drinks and a couple of other guys after the tournament.
Nice.
He seemed a little bummed that he, you know, he had flown that far and he didn't get to play as much. The guys that actually, talking to one of the guys from Saskatchewan, he was a little bummed about it because he'd even like got a hotel room because he actually came up for our regionals, him and his group from Saskatchewan. Okay. And they didn't realize it was starting so late. Like, we didn't start till like 1 o'clock. So it went really late, this regional tournament. And he was like, you know, driving home, like getting home at like 2 a.m. So he came prepared this time, got a hotel room and everything. And it turned out he could have just driven home after the nationals were done because it was kind of short. But the guy from Alabama, I think he was just happy that he got fifth place or fourth place. I think it was fourth place. And he got, you know, got the mat and everything. So I think he was pretty happy about that. You know, you have to explain to people why it says Canadian Nationals and not American Nationals.
Oh, the playmat was actually different?
Yeah, this is a Canadian Nationals top 8. Cool. Or 2014. Yeah. Because I think the one from Gen Con actually says North American Championship.
Yeah, they still called it North American for some reason, which I don't understand why it wasn't. Since they split it this year, they didn't just call it, you know, United States or what, American or something.
Because I guess they have to include Mexico, though. North America.
Well, I'm guessing maybe that was a late change to the schedule, and maybe the mats were already printed.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, true.
Because previously, Gen Con was the North American Championship, which was just to cover, you know, all the Americas or all the North.
Yeah.
You know, mostly Canada and States, of course. All right.
Well.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So with your decks, you said you post them online, Dan. Okay, maybe we'll throw up a link to that on our Facebook page or something, just so we can kind of see a copy. But you wrote a really good tournament report, as I recall, too.
So yes, riddled with spelling errors, because I wrote it. It took me like an hour to write, and I was like, I'm going to go do homework now, so I just didn't really get to do good enough proofreading. But so ignore all the grammar and spelling mistakes.
I think I fixed some of them anyway.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, I guess I could just go over my decks really quick because I remember them. I think my dark side was just a pretty, you know, simple. It was 2x Vader, Palpatine, Saris, and then the slave trade and Zuckuss, all 2-ofs. I had no twist of fates in that deck, but luckily no one really caught on to. And then my light side was 2x the new Yoda, 2x Luke, Moldy Crow. Oh, I'm gonna start forgetting. Oh, yes, that's four. And then it was one of the Guardians pods with C-3PO, and then one last minute rescue with Redemption.
Nice.
I found the last minute rescue an interesting inclusion.
It was something Scott's been playing with since regionals, and I actually originally the deck was just two times C-3PO, but I played a bunch and he like destroyed me by, you know, Return of the Jedi, bring in Yoda, or I kill Yoda, he just bounces back to the Hand of Redemption. So I thought I'd try it. I actually don't think I played, other than I played Return of the Jedi once, I didn't play any other cards from that set the entire tournament other than Return of the Jedi once. But Force Rejuvenation is a really good one too, actually. It's like clear all the tokens off a unit. Like all focus, all damage. What can save your units?
Did Redemption trigger very much it, or even to an effect for you?
I never actually played it out of the table. I did for Scott. When we were playtesting, and I'm pretty sure, not in our game, but I'm pretty sure in the third round, well, I think it's the round where he has another game that he's on camera, he gets Redemption on the table and it bounces. He's also running one red 5, so he had the C-3PO. So I think when we were playtesting, he had one game where he played C-3PO first turn into Redemption, so he had the 5 resources, and it was really good, actually. But
I think it's going to get more play when Independence is released for the new set.
Oh yeah, I guess it's probably a capital ship. I've never even think of that.
Yeah, it reduces the cost by one, which is good.
Yeah.
So
the only problem with that is Redemption kind of triggers off of characters, whereas Independence is that's basically true. Wants a vehicle deck. But Redemption is a capital ship, so I guess you got some sort
might
of strange mix of a deck.
Well, I like to have just like a little bit of extra objective damage to come in. Even if you don't get to use a trigger, it still helps out here every now and then. So
Nothing else, the set's got a decent amount of force icons too.
Yes, it definitely does. That was a... Oh, I missed... my deck also had 2x Kyle.
Heroes and Legends.
Definitely only 8 spots that I named up. Yeah, Heroes and Legends. Yeah, I just caught Kyle. Because I love running 2 of Kyle's set. But I know a lot of people don't, but I always do. In my Jedi decks.
Well, Redemption's quite strong. It's 4 health, so I like it.
Yeah, it is a good card. I don't think I just ever drew it at a time where I could actually play it, where it's worth playing, where I could play like Luke instead or something. So what are we going to talk about Worlds?
Yeah,
next?
We should talk about Worlds. So,
congratulations, by the way, Dan, for winning.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I already congratulated him a few weeks ago. I'm not congratulating him again. He'll just go right to his head.
Thank you.
next we want to talk about Worlds, of course, which was that 2 weekends ago now? Oh my god.
Yeah,
it feels like it was. Wow. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. So it's been almost 2 weeks. So Worlds, of course, I'm going to give a quick shout out to FFG here. Their coverage this year was so much better than previous years. I mean, they've been doing stellar, just showing everything ever since they started doing it at the FFG Center back in 2012. They first started doing the whole Twitch thing. I remember watching on my laptop, and you know, you could chat back and forth. But this year it just seemed to be so much bigger, and they had the intro thing, you know, where they show the different games and what was going on. I was just wow, this is it looks fairly professionally done. And they had the commentating, I thought, was particularly great.
Steve was hilarious from Team Covenant.
It was so well done that I actually had to skip a couple of classes to watch Star Wars. Sit in the comment area and watch my laptop.
I was so annoyed. I was at work and I couldn't watch it because, you know, they're watching us, what we do on the computers at work, unfortunately. So I was like, next year I'm taking it off, whether if I go to Worlds or I don't, I'm going to take the days off so I can watch it. Plus I discovered I can get a Twitch app on my Xbox 360, so I was actually watching on my 36 inch television, so I could watch the finals. Okay. And I was watching Conquest and other stuff on my big screen sitting on my couch. It was great.
Is there a Twitch app on the PS3?
I have no idea. Sorry, I'm an Xbox fan. That's a debate for another day.
PC Master Race.
So Worlds, I don't think there's really anyone that can't say they weren't surprised by the deck that ended up winning the Star Wars Worlds, you know, where it was running Trentron. I was ecstatic when I first saw that deck. They showed it the day before during like the Swiss rounds. It was one of the feature matches. And I was like, man, this guy's running Trentron. That's amazing. Because it was just one of those sets that just never really seemed to see much play once we got past the core set days. But then to see it win, I was just like, I swear I was jumping up and down cheering for him. Like I was watching on my big screen, but I'm like standing in front of it watching. Like I couldn't sit, so I'm just like standing there just watching. I was just like, this is so exciting.
Yeah, I remember the first day of Star Wars on the Thursday in the chat after that game, like in our little Facebook chat with the people in my area that play, I'm like, this guy better win. Like, this is amazing. And then he actually did win. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was the best deck ever.
Thinking about that deck was the reason why I asked you that question about were there any decks that took people by surprise at your event, because that is it is only shines in this new meta with the cards you had, and it helped add take off shields and add blast. It's fantastic.
I even loved what they did. I think it was the final game where they put all the shields around the Death Star, and as he did damage, they took the shield tokens away. And I don't know, somebody somewhere posted or said something saying, from now on, that's how you must use the Death Star when you have Trentron. And I'm just like, that's great, because that looks really cool. So, yeah.
I actually tried it on Sunday, because I have a friend that always plays Rebel and always has Trentron. Okay. And it's a little cramped, because their table is quite a bit bigger than two playmats. Yeah. So it's a little cramped, but we tried it. It's totally worth it.
It's funny reading on the on different forums. Since the Trentron had won Worlds, reading pre-World posts about how bad Trentron is and how you use it in an edge battle, and you know, you burn the card at the start of a turn, and everyone just doesn't really know how to use it, and it just shined. It was great.
Yeah, I was actually making fun of one of the guys in my group. It was one of his posts. He's like, "Just you never want to run in any competitive setting." It's like, nope, and it won Worlds.
Well, the only other card that you would have that most people would use to any effect would be Rebel Assault in that
objective
set. Yeah, so. And mobilize the squadrons for the extra resource, because you can get two resources a turn. Rookie pilot.
Rookie pilots. OP.
Wow.
He's so bad.
But yeah, Rebel Assault definitely was previously the go-to card in that set, I think.
Yeah, when I first started playing, I always put that in my deck because I just wanted four Rebel Assaults. Yeah. So when I was new to this game, I was like, you'll just win with Rebel Assault.
you can.
Yeah.
Because, quick side note, my deck that I used to win store championships last year was Slew Scouts with a Rebel set that has Rebel Assault. I think it was the Yavin set that makes your vehicles cheaper. And that Rebel Assault was clutched so many times, because it was just like, oh, you've got that two-cost guy that's going to block my blockade runner. He's dead. You know, just get him out of the way. It's just another way to remove it, just like swindled or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to Worlds. Other than that, from what I heard of Worlds, like outside of, you know, Mixipra, I think is how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Apparently he's a local player in Minnesota, I guess, who's actually going to be doing a question and answer article with the writer of Abuse the Force, Divinity of Numbers, so that should be coming up soon on CardGameDB. That'll be good to hear his thoughts on it.
Nice.
And kind of read about it, because I'm very curious how hard that deck was to pilot. I think that'd be, like, I want to build the deck and use it, but I think it's a deck that you really got to know. It looks like it'd be really hard to run that deck if you don't know what you... It's not like, you know, when Slew Scouts or something where you just throw it together and play. I think that's a deck that you've got to have some experience with.
That's for sure, yeah.
Well, I think it's a deck that you've kind of got two sides of the coin with it. You've got the Jedi's, you know, May the Force Be With You with Yoda. And then you've got the Trench Run. And then if you happen to have the pieces in place to make Trentron work, then go that route. Or if you have to go the Jedi's and play the game in that facet, then you go there. I think that's what you need to do.
Yeah, it's got some definitely some legs underneath it to run with. But other than that, from what I saw of World, it seemed like it was pretty much what everyone had been expecting. You know, a lot of Jedi with Gamor, or, you know, Mono Jedi maybe, with Moldy Crow or something like that. So I think a large part of why this deck won it, I mean, and this is no shot at Mick at all, he's a great player and he played this deck very well. But I think also was helped by the fact no one expected this deck. So no one was prepared for it. Like, I'd love to know how many times he played Trencher on the Death Star and somebody just like, what does that card even do? You know, people play that card? Well, I've got this guy. And then, you know, he just pulls up their Death Star and they're just sitting there like, what just happened?
Yeah, it's definitely the best meta call.
Oh, yeah, like he made the best call. No one would expect it. But it absolutely was a great call to get around what everyone else was running, which was, on the dark side, Scum and Sith, or, you know, in various combinations of the two.
I think every single deck in the top 16 had Palpatine in it, and almost everyone had Vader in it as well. There's a couple that didn't. Yeah. Like, Mick's deck didn't. He ran Jarek and Mara Jade. Kind of in place Vader.
I was really confused. I was watching the coverage and how Mick was placing pennies on his cards. I thought they were focus tokens. I was
confused. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what was going on.
He's doing it to count the extra blast.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's what they were. So they're like plus one damage tokens.
It's because they were bronze or copper color. They looked like, online, they looked red. Yeah. So you think they were focus.
Yeah, it was actually, I played a Jedi Shielding deck in a local tournament quite a few months ago. Not with Trench Run, obviously, but just with like the, what's it even called
deep
now?
Commitment.
Just deep commitment, yeah. And like, I was doing that because I was, you know, bouncing shields around with the robots, but I was just putting the shield tokens beside them to count the shields. I think the pennies was a really good idea because it is easy to lose track. You're like, wait a second. After you know, give everybody shields, get rid of them, and then use the reaction of those droids to give them more shields.
Yeah, that's why I think it was probably a really hard deck to pilot. So, you know, that's why I give him full credit for that win, because he completely deserved that win by piling an amazing deck and doing really good at it.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I tried the deck once, and it was like I played it wrong. I'm watching his videos. He just sits there and doesn't attack for some turns, right? Like, it's, you're not used to doing this. Like, he'll just play like an Ewok and a Guardian and one of those droids on a turn, and that's it. You know, your turn. And like, it's hard to learn how to play like that. Just to sit back and build up first and then combo out instead of, you know, just attacking every turn with your big mains.
Yeah, I think, because like what he was trying to do is basically build up his board presence, which is kind of similar to like what you sometimes do in a game. Like, I play a lot of Hearthstone like you do, so, you know, sometimes want to build up a board presence of that too, but you've eventually got to, you know, go for the face, as they call it in Hearthstone. In this case, he was going for the Death Star. So I think he was sitting back to build up, and then once he had reached his, you know, point of, I've got all my shields and my tricks and whatnot, he was just let go and just, you know, boom. Like, I think I heard of him like literally blowing up the Death Star in one turn. Like, he would just go for it, and just, and all the pieces were there and it worked.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure in one of the games on stream, he actually just, the turn he played Trench Run, he blew it up.
That's amazing. All right, so the other big news from Worlds, of course, was the news of rotation. Which, it took me by surprise at first to see rotation announced for all the LCGs. Like, I'd fully been expecting it for Game of Thrones. Like, Game of Thrones, for anyone who knows anything about that game, pretty much knows it needed something to fix it. Like, it really was.
I don't think rotation would help.
I thought they were going to have just two kind of deck, or not deck, lists, like a kind of a restricted list with a lot more cards, and then kind of an organized play list of cards. You can take these
kind
cards.
Kind of like standard, like, or, you know, classic, legacy, or whatever. Yeah, and that's...
I don't play Magic, so...
They call them the same, like in World of Warcraft trading card game that I used to play. Yeah. It was called Core and then Classic. And Core was basically standard. It was just the last 2 years worth of stuff. So, similar kind of thing. But anyway, so the rotation for the LCGs was interesting. And honestly, when I first went to read the article, I was like, oh god, am I going to have to quit playing LCGs? Because I hate rotation in other card games. It's because I hate feeling like I spent all this money and now those cards are just essentially cardboard that's worthless because, you know, CCG value drops a lot once a card rotates out by and large in most games. Magic's a bit different, of course. But I think the way they did it here is quite a bit better because it keeps the cards in rotation longer. And I don't feel like I've wasted, I hate using that word, but it's the one to use, money because A, I get to play those cards for so long, and B, I only spent, you know, $15 on this one particular pack, and then, you know, there's the other six that come in the cycle too, of course, that all rotate out together. But it's not like where you play a CCG and, you know, you're spending, God, when I was playing World of Warcraft, the last time I played hardcore, I was buying like two boxes of boosters and expansion. Now, I was buying the pre-open ones where they removed all the loot and the special stuff, so it was strictly just, you know, rare. So they removed all, like, the codes you could use to use in the card game, which were then sold for larger money. So I got them for slightly cheaper than I would otherwise, but I was still spending 100, 200 bucks easy just on booster boxes, plus playing in booster drafts and starters and all that stuff. So it's just – could get a little carried away, I find. Jonathan?
Well, I'm torn because I've just got my hands on Thrones maybe a year ago and bought a few chapter packs, and I didn't really feel like I was into the game as much because of so many chapter packs. So here I am expecting that the announcement would be something for Thrones, and I kind of feel a little bit angry, but a little bit peed because I thought that it would be just a Thrones change, and it feels like a party where Game of Thrones turns up and it kills the party for all the other LCGs. Like Conquest is there partying with Star Wars LCG, and, you know, Warhammer Invasion's kind of there in the back, and then Thrones turns up and kills the party. And I feel like if they had done this rotation if they wanted to do it for all the games, start it with Thrones, but then bring it in. And I know it's 2018 that we're going to see the first effects of rotation on the Star Wars LCG, but I really wish that they'd let Star Wars brew a little bit more. Conquest is a month, maybe a month old. And it's, I really feel like this could have been something they just leave for Thrones. Netrunner's really fairly new, as new as Star Wars. So I really feel that Thrones, it's kind of hurting other games a little inadvertently. I know what your opinions are, Matt.
I see what you're saying, and like I've seen a lot of people say similar things. Some weren't quite as controlled as you were, so, you know, that's good that, you know, you can think rationally about it at least. But the thing is that, like, the rotation was announced to prevent what's happening to Thrones from happening to the other LCGs. It's a preventative measure, because if Star Wars ever reached the day where it had 12 cycles, six core deluxe expansions plus the core sets, that's a lot of objective sets and other cards, and it's really hard both on FFG to be able to you know, make new cards with a pool so large and try to make sure everything balances. Like, we've already seen balance issues in Star Wars, which I'm not going to get into. And Thrones was just a nightmare. Like, I played Thrones solid for a couple of years. And when I started, it was at the end of the third cycle, I think, King's Landing. But I caught up and caught everything I hadn't got, and then I was buying all the way through. And this was back when it was 40 card packs, so I had to buy two of each pack. I still wasn't getting a full play set. Like, this is before they changed them to 60 card packs that they did back in 2010, I think it was.
Okay.
So I see what you're saying, but I think that this will help keep games like Star Wars and Conquest and the others around longer and healthier, and they won't have the same issues that Game of Thrones ran into, because Game of Thrones became very unhealthy near the end. It's still a very popular game, but it was dying.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it died here a while ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because in some places Game of Thrones has like huge communities, but
oh, yeah.
A lot of places it's small. But actually here, I play like Thrones super casually, like I was saying, like mostly just melee. There's actually like a good like 6 to 7, maybe 8 people here that play a lot. And they're all from like the CCG days, but they're all pretty cool with the changes too. Like I think everybody in our group that plays Game of Thrones is going to get second edition because I think everybody kind of knows that Game of Thrones needed more than the rotation because it was getting pretty busted.
It was moribund.
Yeah.
Well, I think people who are invested, they love the game, which is, I like the game as well. I've played it. I think it's a fantastic game. But a friend of mine actually went all in. When we started playing, he bought a lot of Thrones, and he was trying to sell off his set. And the day that the moment the announcement was made for rotation, the buyee messaged my friend and basically said, good luck with selling your cards. And I feel so bad for my buddy because he wants to, you know, work out, you know, his games and, you know, streamline a little, because I'm sure at every point we like to sort of thin down our games we play and things like that. So I think I'll just hold on to it and I'll play casually. I won't buy any more chapter packs, but it's, and you can play with those cards. You just can't go to organized play events. You can play with those cards. Like Steve Horvath from FFG, he had a really good interview about Tim Covenant addressed a few issues, and he made some really good points. I mean, you know, people are going to come knocking on your door saying, you know, give us your old cards. So it's, I think it's fine. But I just don't quite. What's that?
Oh, I said the card police, I think is what he said.
Yeah. It was good. It was a good interview. But I don't quite understand how deluxe, eventually when they have deluxe, are they going to rotate them at all? Because I know they said core and deluxe and not.
The deluxe expansions will always stay same with the core. Always? Yeah. Like they'll never rotate.
Now, what I wonder if it'll be like Thrones stopped doing deluxe expansions after everybody got a deluxe expansion. I wonder if Star Wars will be like that. I think once every faction gets their deluxe expansion, if they'll stop, or if they'll keep doing expansions. Because I know Cthulhu, now they just do deluxe expansions, so they do like boxes for everybody, then they do a box for just one faction. So I wonder what path Star Wars will take.
It's hard
to
say because like with Star Wars right now, what they've been doing that we've seen, I mean, we haven't even seen the first one yet, really. Like Edge of Darkness, I don't really count because that was kind of Scum and Smuggler's Corset.
Corset
2.0 or whatever you want to call it. So the first real deluxe expansion is going to be Balance of Between the Shadows.
Between the Sheets.
Which is coming out very soon.
Are you sure?
Yes.
December.
Of 2016. No, it's coming. It's coming.
It'll be here soon. I've seen stores saying, you know, it's on the way, so I expect it soon.
We'll get it.
Anyway, so that's Scum and Jedi, and you know, next we'll get, I don't know, Rebels and whatever, and you know, so on.
Hopefully, Rebel Navy.
Maybe that would be
amazing.
Almost too obvious, but it'd also be really, really good because the two vehicle factions, and basically, you'll just be blow their stuff up before they blow yours. So that could be kind of fun. But you know, they do these two combinations, you know, so three times because we've got the six affiliations, and then they could just start over again, and you know, instead of it being Jedi and Scum, they could do Jedi and Sith. You know, I think that'd be pretty fun.
Do you think that would ever do special deluxes where it'll just be a light side expansion? So Rebel and Jedi, or Rebel and
I don't think they would do that. Having more,
yeah, exactly. They'd lose the balance in the card count. Like right now, the sides stay. Once a cycle and expansions are complete, the sides are pretty much more or less equal. I said they are not more or less; they are equal. So I don't see them giving one faction it because it's just going to give so many more cards to that one that it'll take a while for the rest of the factions to pick up.
That's true. I can't wait for Between the Shadows, Scum. Finally, some Scum cards that I like.
Yeah, from the spoilers we've seen, I'm really excited because my favorite faction to play is scum and villainy, and they just don't really work yet in tournament play. So I'm pretty excited to be able to actually play decks that are mostly scum, you know, or even mono scum with success.
See, I've been doing that for a year, so I just always laugh when people say that. But we've always been way more scum heavy here in Nova Scotia than pretty much any other meta that I know of.
Oh, really? Yeah. I always try it. I just fall back to the safety of Sith when it comes to tournaments.
A lot of people do.
Theater can help me with this.
Yeah.
So other than rotation and Worlds, the championships, I don't think anything else really big came out for Star Wars. Like, I watched, well, I didn't watch, but I saw the whole LCG State of the Union thing that they did, because Team Covenant was awesome, and they live tweeted the whole thing, so I was just following on my Twitter feed. There wasn't really any other big announcements for Star Wars. The LCG, there's of course other Star Wars news about X-Wing and Imperial Assault.
Well, I found interesting in the State of Union address that they mentioned that Star Wars is the second biggest
bestseller
LCG, which is fantastic, and news that we were, you know, hoping for. Obviously, Netrunner is the biggest.
I don't think that one came as a surprise to anybody, but Star Wars came as a surprise to me. I honestly expected it to be Game of Thrones.
What I learned talking to a store owner here is I know it's actually not the store that we mostly play at, but he gets a lot of the packs for Star Wars. Like, and I asked him, like, why do you order so many? Because not very many people buy from there since we don't play there. And he said that just there's a big group of casual players that buy all the packs each time they come out. And I keep trying to find them to come get them to play with us, because we're not, like, that competitive dudes. Like, we like to play fun decks, so yeah. I wish they'd come play with us. But apparently there's quite a lot of people just buying this game to play casually, which is good to hear, but they should come play with us.
Can you get those people to post on the forums, to all those, the people who say that Star Wars is dying, that, you know, there's casual players that do love the game, that, you know, it's growing, which is great.
Yeah. Good to hear. I just wish they'd come to our weekly meetings.
You should just hang out at the store, like, all day long. Just sit there. When they come in, just jump them.
By the rack. Yeah, just jump. Hey! Throw a sign-up sheet in their face. They run away, mace me, you know, pepper spray me.
Join the dark side, charge with me.
I think a really valid point they made about the rotation is that stores are having issues because it only got so much space. And I think that's really, really considerate of the company to realize that, you know, stores can't stock, you know, however many years of Thrones merchandise, and it's going to get that way with Netrunner and Star Wars. So
yeah, and that's something FFG's been concerned about for a while, like with the various SKUs, because they realize they have a lot of different SKUs for all their games, and it just gets a little out of control. Like, that's one reason why there's been FFG's always said that they will never do like a core set addendum, which every LCG there's people clamoring for one because they don't want to buy multiple core sets, so they just want one that, you know, finishes off what they have. And one of the reasons FFG said no is because they're just like, that's just one more thing the stores need to stock. They're like, you know, stores only have so much room. They don't just sell our games. They sell other games and other products. So, you know, you can only expect a store to carry so much before it's just, you know, that's special order.
What do you mean by an addendum?
A lot of people, you'll see it on various LCG boards. There's pretty much every time there's a call for, you know, like Star Wars, you got one of each objective set. So it wasn't really the same, you know, you buy another core set and you get the rest. But like with Conquest, you got one of pretty much every single card. So instead of buying another core set and another core set to get the three, a lot of people want them just to release a completionist pack. You know, buy this and then it gives you all your cards up to three.
Okay.
And that's been an LCG thing for as long as I've been collecting them and longer. It's never going to happen. I'm sure when Game of Thrones second edition comes out, it's mostly, I don't know, let's assume one-ofs or something, that were the same thing.
Mostly.
They'll be post saying, I want, you know, a completionist pack. I don't want to buy two more core sets. I want, you know, this.
Okay.
It's just one of those things with LCGs.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
What do you guys think of the prizes at Worlds? Like, I was super jealous of that Palpatine promo. There was one guy from our group that went, and I was just drooling over them.
And I like that they
super nice.
Yeah, two different mats for the winner. It wasn't just the
yeah, that's how they normally do it. Yeah,
I thought it was one for the top 16, and that was it.
The winner, I think, the last in the world 2 years has gotten like one that's like just theirs. Maybe it might have been even longer. Like, because
they've always done that for Thrones
and Warm Invasion. I remember they had that too. So like, it's an exclusive playmat that there's only one of that one. So the winner only is the only person that has that one.
Well, yeah, no, I understand that. What I mean is, say it was Obi-Wan, and they had 15 regular Obi-Wans, top 16, and then they have the 16th one as the world champion, and then they give everyone that, and give the top place the world champion, and then 15 others.
Yeah. Of the same. I was actually surprised they only actually gave out 8 mats this year instead of 16, which usually is for them.
Yeah, prizes was down apparently for a lot of the games.
I think all the LCGs only had 8 mats, so... I mean, at least it wasn't just us, but I was a little surprised because I know at Gen Con it was all top 16, and even at the Canadian Nationals it was top 8 mats.
Yeah, I know there's a few people that were upset about that too, that they changed that at Worlds, and they didn't announce the prizes for Worlds either, which was different than previous years. Usually we know the prizes, you know, well in advance.
Yeah.
What could they do for a different prize? I think the bag is okay. The little knapsack or the backpack. I'd prefer a knapsack, like a little satchel. Yeah. But what could be a different prize that they could do?
Well, I always thought, like, I have a backpack, and I actually use it because I actually didn't have a very good game for gaming, but I got it from the Nationals. But I always thought, I've seen them for Thrones, like, from old ones, like an affiliation card that says, like, World's Top 4 or something. Like, that's something cool that you can always play with on your on the table. Would be cool,
A super nice Death Star dial. I really hope that they do something.
Yeah,
like
a new Death Star dial would be cool.
Because my Death Star dial is worn out.
Yes, mine too.
Get your extra one.
I dropped mine in a puddle once.
Wow.
I see people using their Edge of Darkness one in games.
Yeah, I saw that during some of the Worlds video. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't like using it because I don't know. It's one more dial you have to turn. We actually, when we did cover, like we filmed Canadian Nationals, and when we did that, we used that dial too. That'd be easier to read. It turned out to basically be the same, but
yeah. My whole thing with the prizes is, I think they're going to start running out of ideas eventually. Because I mean, the alternate art cards will always be around, and that's easy, you know.
Playmats.
I'm getting kind of tired of, honestly. I mean, I've got 6 playmats.
My playmat mountain.
Like, my table that I'm sitting at right now, which is also my gaming table, I've got 4 playmats set up all the time. And I've got the regionals, I got the one that we made for Table Flip Podcast, I've got the store championships, and I got the Hoth one from Season 3. Plus,
I love that one. I love the Hoth.
Yeah, that's, I like that one. My favorite. I also like the one that's got the artwork from Edge of Darkness that has, like, Boba Fett and Lando as that guard.
Oh, yeah.
I've got that one, and it's autographed by Eric Lang. So I really like that one.
Oh, nice.
How'd you get it autographed? That's fantastic.
Eric Lang, his wife is from the Maritimes region, so they were here a while ago, and he knows some of the guys that work or own the Boardroom Game Cafe down in Halifax, so he came down there, autographed a bunch of stuff, and then we ran a tournament for it, and I won the tournament, so I got the autographed playmat.
You with the connection.
It's the only playmat I use because it's just like, this is the coolest playmat. Because I like, it'd be the playmat I would use anyways because I really like that playmat, but the fact that it's autographed just makes it that much cooler.
I love it. It has Boosh.
Yeah.
He is the best bounty hunter. I'm sorry, Boba Fett, but Boosh is cool.
Boba Fett doesn't do anything in the entire movies.
I didn't know until I started playing this game that Boosh was an actual bounty hunter and it wasn't just Leia. Like, I thought that was just a random outfit Leia put on. I didn't know it was actually like another bounty hunter.
Well, Dan, read Shadows of the Empire.
That's what I was going to say, because I knew nothing either until I read that, and then I was like, oh, this makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, Leia goes to visit Prince Caesar. Yeah, and who's like the head of the Black Sun, right? And she gets Snoover's costume or outfit for Chewie, and gets Boosh's outfit, suit, and to get ready for the events in Episode 6. It's really cool.
I'm actually reading the Thrawn trilogy right now. I'm almost on the second book. It's really good. I didn't read any of the extended universe stuff until this game, especially this last cycle, has made me want to read it because it's all like, who are these people? And I played through the Dark Forces game on my computer.
Good.
I got to play the second one too now to learn about Kyle Katarn and Mary Jade, or not Mary Jade, Aceris and stuff like that.
Yep. And Jarek is in that, right?
Jarek too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I read the Thrawn trilogy back when it was released, 92 it was released, and I haven't read it since, so I'm getting back into that myself.
I didn't realize it was that old.
Thanks.
Oh, no, I said I didn't realize it was that
old. It did come out quite a while
that
ago.
That book is
yep. All right.
Yeah.
So the last bit of news is the most recent one. It just came out yesterday, and it's about the FFG merger with Asmodee, which is a French gaming company that I've heard of before. Not really much we can say about this, honestly, because I don't think anyone knows more than what was in the article that FFG released. I'm okay with it, because honestly, I got it. My friend Jeff messaged me on Facebook with it, and message pops on my iPad, and he's like, FFG bought, and it was all capitals. I'm just like, what? Who? What? So I'm like all freaking out, and they got bought out by some company, and they're going to cancel a bunch of stuff or something. And I'm just like, oh, it's a merger with okay, whatever. This doesn't affect me.
I don't know if they've gone into Asmodee or if Asmodee has gone into FFG. I kind of feel like it's – I'm going to bring up the article on computer.
They're becoming part of Asmodee's group of companies. So there'll be a sub-company underneath them. It's kind of like when Disney bought Marvel and stuff like that.
Yeah, Marvel still operates as their own company. They just
Asmodee just a few months ago during the summer bought Days of Wonder, which makes games Small World and Ticket to Ride and stuff like that. So they're coming fairly big.
Well, I've played a few of their games. I haven't played all of their games, but I've played Ticket to Ride and Dixit. Dixit's fun for a party game. So they've got some really good properties. Good IPs, and I think I kind of feel like these things are kind of a good thing, because it's better to see, because we're all gamers at the end of the day. If we play a board game, if we play a card game or a video game or anything like that, so to see anyone die because of various circumstances is really sad. So the fact that things like this happen, I'm sure is good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was mostly, they said, just to help FFG have better distribution in Europe,
exactly.
And then help Asmodee, in North America.
I'm assuming that's how you say
just
it.
To help each other with their strengths.
Yeah, I think it's just they're going to play each other's strengths. FFG is pretty big in North America, especially in the United States. And then Asmodee's actually a French company, so they're over in Europe. So they're just kind of, I guess, piggyback on each other's distribution and stuff and work together. So I don't think it's got much of an impact on any of us, at our level as consumers. I just think it's going to help the companies themselves, function and do better. So I'm all for it. I don't really see any negatives to this.
I think where it'll shine is in Europe, where I know a lot of British players from the UK were getting force packs really late, maybe a month after us, and I think maybe a month at the most, but really they were getting really disappointed. So I think the fact this is happening is going to help them get force packs faster. The question I have is it going to help us in any way with or help or hinder with delays for North America?
I think the delays are mostly because of licensing is what it seems like, because X-Wing gets hit with pretty bad delays too.
Yeah.
But Game of Thrones and Netrunner kind of chug along nicely at a good, reasonable release schedule. But it's mostly just the Star Wars games that get hit by these long delays.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. Because the thing is, Netrunner is internal to FFG, so FFG can pretty much do whatever they want with Netrunner, because Android is their own IP. They created it for the Android board game a few years ago.
But they have to go through Wizards of the Coast, because Netrunner's...
All they license from Wizards of the Coast is the game engine itself. The
oh,
setting
okay, so they don't have
the,
to...
all that other stuff is theirs, so they can do whatever they want. Okay. Whereas even with Game of Thrones, but I think because Game of Thrones seems like a pretty easy license, it seems.
Yeah, who do they? They just go through George R. R. Martin.
I assume so. I don't know how that really works.
He's just writing.
I know it's not HBO.
No. But it's probably his publishing company, I would assume, or something like
that.
Yeah.
But with Lucas Knee, as I've taken to call him, there's a lot more to it because they're probably going through, honestly, I mean, this is all speculation. They're probably going through multiple channels and they've got to go to Disney, who then goes to Lucas or something. So I suspect it's a pretty complicated license where there's so many people own everybody else. Like, I don't know. I remember Hasbro was somehow involved in stuff too. I think I'm thinking of Wizard of the Coast, but yeah, I just think it's a very complicated license. It requires a lot of approval. Star Wars, especially right now, since the buyout by Disney, has become under a really fine-tooth comb, I guess you could say. Like, they're really cleaning it up, getting rid of some of the excess stuff. Like, you know, Extended Universe, all that stuff was wiped, which they had to do to be able to make the movies. I'm sorry. If you love the Extended Universe, love the Extended Universe. Yeah. They didn't take all your books and light them on fire. You know, this is not a book burning of Harry Potter down in Australia. That actually happened.
They did that? That
actually happened. Well, it's a church thing, anyway.
Oh, geez.
Where did it happen? I got to look into this. This is crazy. This is
years ago, but it was a church burnt the books because they thought it was promoting sorcery and demonology and stuff. Anyway, way off topic.
I should play D&D.
I'll have to use analogies D&D people understand before I try and train new ones. So, you know, this isn't Hitler burning books in World War II.
Hey.
That's when everyone should understand.
I know. Yeah.
So. You can still read those books. You can still read those comic books. You can still – like, we can still play these cards because, like, a lot of our cards are based on Extended Universe stuff. We've got Saris, Jarek. We've got Thrawn coming up. You know, Prince Zizor is coming in between the shadows. So much stuff is Extended Universe now. So none of that's gone, per se. They haven't said, you know –
Well, Jar Jar – we have Jar Jar in the LCG. You know that?
No, that's I'm not talking about that. He's just – it's some Gungan sitting at a bar. No one said it was Jar Jar. Jar Jar was probably killed by someone because he destroyed the Old Republic. I don't know what I was even trying to say now.
licensing, Asmodee.
Licensing with Lucasfilm is just probably a lot more complicated. They require a lot more approvals. They're probably a lot more involved. We'll never know for sure. But I suspect that's to blame for a lot of the delays, which we unfortunately do see in Star Wars. So I know people get frustrated with the delays. Honestly, I get really tired of reading it on the boards because people tend to harp on it a little bit too much.
Too much. You know, too much, yeah.
Play the game, guys. But anyway.
Well, it gives you time to play objective sets that you haven't seen before or in a long time.
Play 2v2, which no one ever seems to want to do, which I don't know why because I think it's a fantastic format.
Yeah,
it's fun, just long, long games.
Yeah, but
we actually played on Sunday. We actually played the challenge decks, which was something we hadn't done in a while. I was piloting the Navy one.
The Navy one, we didn't find that hard. The Rebel one, holy.
Yeah, the Rebel one's hard to beat.
That was brutal. I ran that and I felt bad. I'm just like, I'm destroying you guys, and you can't do a thing.
Yeah. Oh. We weren't sure, though, actually. I guess maybe you might know. We were playing the Navy one, so I had the Death Star out. I was actually going to win, but I didn't take the Force because I knew he hadn't played any Seeds of Decay yet, neither of them, and I figured they would have some. Well, one of them was playing May the Force Be With You. So I didn't want to, you know, put it on the Force, and then so they actually had the Force, and he played May the Force Be With You, which just killed everybody, including the Death Star, what made me lose. I didn't know how that would work. That just seemed kind of lame to lose like that, but...
I'm about to reread the rules for that in the Balance of the Force because I don't know if that actually would affect it, but I'll let you know.
Yeah, I wasn't sure because I read through the rules and it says if the Death Star gets destroyed.
Yeah, I thought it can be affected by certain things.
Yeah, I thought it couldn't be targeted. I thought that was something they said. It's not in the rules or on the card. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll look at that.
When I say my Ally of the Force, so I just wiped everything, and I was like, oh. Yeah, I lose. Okay.
Kind of I was about to win.
I would hope that there's some sort of rule that says that doesn't work, because otherwise that's probably how everyone's going to beat that deck now.
Yeah. All right,
so moving on to the last bit of news we got. We wanted to talk about the most recent pack announced for Rogue Squadron Cycle. And this one is, well, ooh, I guess we're going to call it the Thrawn pack, because every post I saw as soon as I posted this around on Facebook and the boards went, I was, oh my god, Thrawn! No one saw anything else, they just saw Thrawn. There's some blue dude, it's obviously cool Thrawn. You know, it's not an Andorian from Star Trek.
No one talks about the cool Jedi card. That kind of reads like it's going to kind of be like Infiltration. Yeah. I don't know if you can see the card fan, but it says put a unit from a friendly player something into play under your control, and then it goes away if it's still in play at the end of the phase.
Yeah, this seems to be the versus two pack for this cycle, which they seem to be doing at least one pack a cycle that focuses on two versus two, which is good. You know, they're giving it some support.
I hope that card's still good in 1v1, because I want to infiltrate another infiltration-like card. I really like that card.
Well, you could, because you're considered a friendly player to yourself.
Oh, right, so, right. That's totally true.
I like Smuggling Freighter.
That one's really cool, too.
Text, but it's while this unit is piloted, damage is dealt by, and then it gets covered up by a copy of Supporting Fire, be prevented by shields. And I would assume it says damage dealt by this unit.
That's what I think, too. Makes sense.
Cannot be dealt.
Cannot be prevented by shields, which is good. Mm-hmm. And the card could work well, in the Slew Scout deck or something like that, too. It's only got one blast, but still, a couple of the Slew Scout objectives and got to be able to boost. Yeah. And we can't really see much else. We see a Racing Swoop, which is just a speeder bike. And then a Corrin Bureaucrat who's looking menacing, which Corrin do, one cost.
Oh, it looks amazing.
I don't know anything about Corrins, but judging from the art, I think that card's going to make pilots, more expensive or something. It's going to negatively affect pilots, I think, for the enemy player.
Yeah,
it could make sense because it's a bureaucrat getting in the way and bureaucracy.
Yeah,
he's navy. Yeah, he's navy. Maybe he's
is he navy or is he neutral?
Well, no, he's got a navy symbol on his shoulder on his left.
He totally does.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There must be in a Sith pack. Weird.
If it's navy, it looks like a neutral card though.
Yeah, maybe there's
neutral
cards, neutral sets.
I don't know. We haven't seen any this cycle, so it'd be weird that they would introduce also not the last one. But hey, you never know. Just throws off. All right. So the meat of this preview article was obviously Thrawn. OMG Thrawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So his objective, not much really to say about this. Really, it's a 5 health, 2 resources, vanilla.
Coruscant,
which,
protected,
you could,
right?
If you run that particular set, Heart of the Empire. The artwork's pretty good. I'll give it that. It looks it looks almost cinematic, especially the Royal Guard, just the way he's shaded or whatever. It looks like it's cinematic almost.
I'd like that art on a playmat or the next art.
Oh, man, that'd be amazing. It reminds me of something you would get in the old TIE Fighter game with the Imperial banners and just, if you ever played the TIE Fighter game that was like a flight simulator, it just gives that feeling of on Coruscant when you play TIE Fighter. I don't know. That's the feeling.
Yeah, I like it. I like the view it gives. It gives you the feeling of, eminence and, the whole, it's the Emperor and all that stuff. So I think it does a good job of conveying a feeling, even though it's a, other than the fact that it's got 2 resources, it's a fairly boring objective itself. Next card is definitely not boring, and the next card is what I want to see on a playmat.
Me as well.
This, and I found the art for this on the artist's Facebook page, because I actually messaged him and said, hey, can you please post the art since they previewed this card now? And he posted the full art for it. It's my Facebook banner on my personal Facebook page now. It's pretty epic, because he's surrounded by those schematics. They're everywhere. So he's throwing himself. 4 cost, 3 force icons, 2 black tactics, yay, and 1 edge dependent blast damage. He's elite because, if he wasn't, that'd be stupid. It's strong. His action, I like his action. It's interesting. I know some of them at first thought it was kind of weird. So it's during engagement, focus this unit to place 1 focus token on a target participating enemy unit limit once per turn. So it lets him, because what I like is he's got two black tactics icons. So you're probably, if you win the edge battle, you're probably going to strike with him first and you'll focus down the opponent's units. But if you lose, you can use his action during the action window to still focus down an opposing unit.
Yeah, you can just stop them from attacking either way.
You're only getting one, but still, you're shutting down his unit. You may be only shutting down one unit, or instead of double stacking on a Luke or Ben or something, you're getting at least one, but you're still shutting down that card. And he's got 3 health, which is pretty good for a Navy officer.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think for 4 costs, that's probably one of the best 4 cost units we've seen. Like Mara Jade's pretty good for 4 costs, but I think the 2 black tactics at 4 costs is pretty crazy for the dark side. That's like, I would honestly, if this pack was out right now, I'd probably almost take Palpatine out and put this in some sort of Sith control deck, but with more officers, I'd probably play the Super Laser Blast set too. But I think it's crazy for 4 costs. That's a lot of power.
I think it's a little bit of a twist on the Lando ability, where Lando can remove opponents from the engagement. You can throw a tactics focus icon and remove your opponent's players, your opponent's cards. I like it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I like them too. And, the art's amazing. I definitely see this being run when this pack comes out, and I'll be glad when this one comes out, but, we've got a few months to go, sadly.
Yeah, April, maybe? I had it figured out. 5,
so we'll probably see the first one in January, so we'll probably see this one in May.
Oh.
But it could be in time for regionals.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
At least we'll be here before nationals.
Yeah. Mostly. Especially they're in October again.
Yeah.
All right. So next we've got another card that I really like. And this one, anyone who's read Thrawn Trilogy will know about these guys. So it's a Nogri Bodyguard. 2 cost unit with 1 black unit damage and 1 edge dependent unit damage. And it has Protect Officer. It's only got 2 damage capacities, so it's not going to protect for very long. But still, being able to protect some of the Navy officers is great because there's a lot of good Navy officers that have really great effects that just don't stick around. Tarkin only has 2 health.
So many. I'm looking at right now. Veers is 2 health.
And there's the one that I'm thinking of that makes the capital ships cheaper. He's only got 1. Is that Piet?
Yep. I'm pretty sure it's Piet.
There's another Piet?
Yeah, it's his non-Balance of the Force version. Or not Balance of, Balance of the Force version. It's not the one that comes in the challenge deck, but it came in Edge of Darkness, I think it was. It was a single objective set. I'll look it up.
What I really like is protecting a 3-cost communications officer, which gives you 2 resources. A lot of people like to take him out when I play him. And if you can protect a damage from hitting your communications officer, then you haven't wasted 3 resources, 3 of your own resources, but you still have a chance to use his resources. You're going to have 1 opportunity because he's only 1 damage capacity.
Yeah, it's actually Captain Nita, not Piet. Comes in a Imperial Blockade.
Oh, okay, It's
the first capital ship you play is turned by 2 less, but he's only got 1 damage capacity, so he dies quite easily to a rebel assault or targeted strike, or even just Han, starting an engagement. Han shoots first.
Yeah.
So I like this card, just be able to help protect him, but I don't know if you'd necessarily be running this set and capital ships, although you probably could, because one of the weaknesses my capital ship deck that I love has, which I call blow stuff up, is it's really weak to tactics. With Thrawn in there in the mix, he could help shut down your opponent's boards, giving your Star Destroyers and use your time to get through. So
so
what's the next one? Chain of Command works really well with Grand Admiral with Thrawn. The event card, but it says Chain of Command, costs 1, 2 force pips. And it says action, target up to 2 officer units, each controlled by a different friendly player. Move 1 focus token from each targeted unit. So some people in the forum thought this card didn't work in 1v1, You only have to target one. You can just target two if your opponent, if your partner also has an officer unit, but you can still use it in one, in 1v1, just on your own, like say Thrawn, to unfocus them. Essentially, you focus three people down with Thrawn with a bit of a combo. It seems pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, one of those cards that's better in 2v2, but still works perfectly well in single player, which I like that they're doing that when they give us these, because that way it doesn't feel like, you know, it's a pack that's just for multiplayer, and people would be like, oh, I'm going to skip that pack. Plus, it's got, you know, two force icons, like you said, which is, it's not a lot, but Navy can use all the help it can get.
Yeah.
Well, I find that so many of the resources in a Navy deck are officers. So if your opponent starts placing focus tokens to slow your resource generation down, this just helps you, you know, get your resources, you know, when you need to, because
definitely
you're not
true.
Yeah, I mean, I think every officer that I know of, that I can think of, has one or two resources. Even communications officer, he has two resources. So being able to take a focus off a two resource communications officer, love it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then the last card, supporting fire, another. Nice to see those again, I think. I really like that card, actually, that fate card.
Yeah, I almost use it as like an extra twist of fate sometimes. Like I've used
it. You kind of, you can bluff.
Yeah.
You know? It's pretty nice. And it's cool because, I mean, before it was really hard to get two of them in a deck. And now with it looks like the light side is getting one in this pack too, judging by the card fan. So it's nice that it would be easier to get these them into the deck. I also think the pack before this they spoiled had supporting fire in it too, the one with the scum that kind of got advantages from losing the edge battle. That was kind of cool.
Good card.
Well, all around I think it's a really solid set.
Well, I think we get two Noguri, right? I believe it said
yeah, there's two Noguri,
so,
yeah.
So I think the fact that there's four.
Yeah, I think it makes it hard this set to run with Mahdi, because if you run two of this and then you also run Mahdi, you're getting like six or even eight of like basically stormtroopers, right? The two cost, two gun, two health. But you maybe don't want that many of them. But
yeah, I don't think I would run this set with Mahdi, to be honest. I think I would almost use this as a replacement for Mahdi, depending on the deck.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah, I would love to make an officer's deck. That's what I want to do. But I don't think Mahdi would make the cut just because of the fact that I would have way too many stormtroopers or stormtrooper-like cards. But I think he'd be really good with the ultimate power, protecting Tarkin. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
To keep the damage down and then splash in some of the big Star Destroyers to really push through and destroy those objectives.
Yeah, I love Tarkin. One of the best.
Oh, it's so good.
The best things to do with Tarkin that I've done, and this is a long time ago, is like do enough damage to each objective and then just play Tarkin and they all blow up.
Yep.
It's so funny because it's just like all three objectives go boom. What? How? Well, I play Tarkin and they all have one less capacity.
Yeah. It's keeping Tarkin, that's a major factor of my Navy deck. I really want Tarkin just to tip me over the balance with my math of damage to objectives. It just gives you the benefit, dropping things down to four, any objectives that are four, you know, three, boom, it's fantastic.
And super laser blast helps.
I find, I'm torn. I like using it, and I don't like using it. I like using it because on a third objective, or maybe a fourth, just to win the game, I feel so cheap. I feel like a cheap player when I use it.
I've had it used on me on the first turn. My friend Ben did it to me one day because I had out like I think I had a Gamma run and something else, and he was just like, "I hate that objective." So he's just like super laser blast. Like it was his entire turn basically, but it's just like
yeah.
It was kind of frustrating because it made it a lot harder for me to do what I was trying to do with taking the force and stuff. But
well, you got to think that he could have used it on the third objective and, you know, 1, 3 dial ticks. Yep. But he used it on the first, so he wasted his card.
Yeah. It was mostly just to do it, just to do it to me.
It's evil. Yeah.
I do it to him, so I can't really say much. Anyway, so I think we're going to kind of wind things down at this point, guys. I think we've gone on long enough for the first episode.
Yeah.
We're going to be back in about 2 weeks, maybe a little bit less, depending on all our schedules.
Sure.
All right.
So how are we going to find each other if we want to get in touch?
Well, funny that you should ask. Good setup. All right. So to reach us, we have a Facebook page set up. It's called simply enough Ion Control Podcast. So if you're on Facebook, you can like our page. All three of us are there. We're also all on the FFG and Card Game DB boards.
I'm Aussie Jedi. I forgot to mention that earlier. On any of the boards, if you look for me as being Aussie Jedi, that's me.
And I'm, like I said, Toctamish. I'm pretty easy to find. I'm very active on the boards. I'm like the second highest poster, I think, on Card Game DB. So I don't really shut up. So you can probably find me pretty easily. I also tend to be in the Conquest boards quite a bit because I'm the Conquest rules arbitrator and one of the two moderators. So I'll probably stand out. So if you want to reach out to me and just send me a private message or whatever.
I'm Chunky Gorillas on there, like I said before. I'm on there a lot too.
Thank you for joining us, everyone. We will see you all again in a couple weeks. And until then, may the force be with you.